My next guest tonight, the CEO of the Chicago Housing Authority. The CHA is the agency tasked with creating affordable public housing in Chicago. And that's no small task. The history alone will tell us that, from the infamous high-rise housing projects like the Robert Taylor Homes along to Dan Ryan or Cabrini Green on the near north side. Public housing in Chicago has been marred by extreme poverty, crime, and neglect. In 2000, then-Mayor Richard M. Daley ushered in one of the most ambitious public housing plans in American history to renovate and build 25,000 units while demolishing places like the Henry Horner Homes, Stateway Gardens, and the aforementioned projects. That was supposed to take place in one decade, but economic forces and some say mismanagement has us all still waiting for the plan for transformation to be completed 17 years later. And that's the goal of the new CEO, Eugene Jones Jr., just celebrated 2 years on the job. And he's here to give us an update on Chicago public housing and, of course, the famed plan for transformation. Mr. Jones, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
So let's start right there. The plan for transformation. I mean, you obviously it predates you. But the good news here is that it's kind of coming to a close.
Right. We're 94% there. By the end of 2017, the plan for transformation, I'll be dancing right in front of your radio station, hooping and hollering because it'll be over with. What we're trying to think about right now, what CHA is going to look like after the plan for transformation. A lot of things happened before. A lot of things are happening now. 2016 was a very innovative, successful year with Mayor Rahm Emanuel, our board of commissioners, our residents and staff. We've done something very ambitious, very innovative, and that we're going to continue this in 2017 and beyond.
Okay, so the big storylines for Chicago housing before you got here was, A, the plan for transformation is taking longer than projected,
right,
and B, you were sitting on millions of dollars in surplus. This was the headlines. It came out that as every other agency is strapped for cash, the Chicago Housing Authority had, what, hundreds of millions of dollars in reserves. Is that still the case? I mean, are we still having people who are looking for housing on a waiting list while the Chicago Housing Authority has a ton of money in the bank?
So we want to get the record straight right now. At the beginning of 2017, we had $77 million in reserves. By the end of 2017, that will be wiped clean. So we will have reserves of about $110 million, which is the regulatory provision from HUD.
Are you putting the money into housing? Is that where it's going, the surplus money?
No, the surplus money, the operating reserve, is what we have to have as a rainy day, $110 million. So that's what we have to have. HUD tells us we have to have that. Anything above that is reserves. And so we use that in new development, rehab, construction, acquisition, trying to find opportunity in the South, the North, and so that we can build some great mixed-income housing.
You have been in public housing your career in other American cities, Toronto as well. When you come to Chicago and you take over this position, what's your thought? What was your thought on even the concept of a plan for transformation?
It's a great city. We have one of the ambitious programs called MTW, which is Moving to Work. We're the largest housing agency, the second largest agency in North America behind New York City. It gave me the opportunity to use our flexibility to provide opportunities, more housing, more services to our residents and the community, surrounding community. That's why we looked at innovative things about the library with CPL, about doing something that's inclusive, that's something that's going to be a community benefit, and doing those types of things that we can put housing in the North. We can put housing in those areas that we haven't seen anything.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, you know, from you as a guy who's been in these positions before, you've run agencies in other towns, coming here and seeing what Chicago tried to take on to essentially transform the way we do public housing from the high rises,
sure,
to mixed income. As an administrator, do you scratch your head? Do you say that's an awesome plan? It's a bummer it took so long. What do you think? Would you have tried to start a plan for transformation?
Well, let me just put it in this context. I know we can sit here and talk about the plan for transformation all day long. I'd rather just focus on today. My predecessors had issues that they have to go through when it comes to HUD regulations, when it comes to community involvement. A lot of things are in play there. This is the most ambitious plan in all of the country. No one has ever tried to tackle on something like that. And, of course, when you do something that big, you're not going to find all the loose ends and so forth. So we have learned from the plan for transformation what were the positive things that work and what were the negative things, and harping on those positive things and making sure that we stick to that.
Let's do what's the positives? I mean, because I'm just when I did the research for this piece, and I know a little bit about housing, public housing, there's a lot of articles that are like, man, CHA screwed up. Like, there shouldn't be this much surplus. Where's the plan for transformation? You know, past officials have said, oh, it was the economic slowdown. Others have said, oh, no, this was mismanagement, moving money around. So let's talk about the positives. What have you learned at the Chicago Housing Authority that has been a positive from the ambitious plan, the plan for transformation?
I'll say, let's talk about mixed incomes. So we can complete 1,037 units under construction of CHA families for all of 2016, 692 affordable units, 289 market units, a total of 2,000 units were completed under construction in 2016. This was made possible through the CHA's three-pronged approach of building, rehabbing, and acquiring housing units in communities across the city. When we started the plan for transformation, the Housing Choice Voucher Program, we had let about 30,000 vouchers at that time. Today, we have 47,000. We have 90%, 91% leased up. We have provided household incomes have increased twofold. Back in plan for transformation was 10,000, now it hovers way over 20,000. So that was a 3% increase from 2015 to now. We've had 78 graduates from the family self-sufficiency program. We have 7,500 CHA residents enrolled in college. All the different, not just the bricks and mortars, but all the community opportunities that we've given to our residents and so forth. Economic opportunity, our Section 3 program, and all the opportunities that we've given with commercial development. If you look at the new Marianos in Brownsville, if you look at XS Tennis, that's south of Stateway, where the former Robert Taylor homes were, that's going to be something that's going to be for the surrounding community, students there. I mean, it keeps going on and on and on.
Let me, Eugene Jones is my, Jones Jr. is my guest. He's the CEO of the Chicago Housing Authority. Talking about public housing in Chicago, and there's a lot of, I mean, we're getting into the weeds on what currently is being accomplished, but there are so many bigger ticket sort of long vision issues that come with public housing. One of which, and you mentioned right at the top, mixed income. You know, there seems to be two ways that the government goes about public housing. Maybe there's more because you've been in it for a long time. You can tell me, but it seems like you will create public housing that's in the old form that we kind of saw with Robert Taylor Homes and Stateway Gardens, where it's almost segregated housing, high-rise housing that's sort of like, don't, you know, like, this is where we're going to put poor people.
Doesn't work anymore.
And then you have situations that you see in New York City that Chicago has not been able to sort of emulate or even get to a point of copying, where block to block there is mixed income, there is public housing, affordable housing, different classes of people, poor, middle class, working class, all living in the same block. Which do you think, I mean, as you think about, are those the only two ways that public housing work? First off, that's my question. And secondly, why doesn't Chicago embrace that second one like we see in cities like New York City?
Oh, we have. I mean, that's what we build now. We don't build monstrosities anymore. We're building communities. So we take a product. If you look at what we're going to launch pretty soon, we're going to close Lathrop. We're going to look at Ickes on Stateway. We're going to look at Oakwood Shores and Cabrini. So we're not bringing monstrosities that we're going to build a 50-story high-rise and house everyone. That's not going to work anymore. It's a community type of environment that we build mixed-income developments in which we have market rate, we have affordable, and we have public and assisted housing. We know that model works. We've done it before on Stateway. If you look at there, Oakwood Shores. When I first came here to Chicago, going down Stateway, I said, well, where's the public housing? It didn't look like public housing. It didn't smell like public housing. It didn't transform to public housing. It looked like a community in which you don't know who's in there, but you know it's a great community. Less crime, better parks, better schools. That's what you want to create.
How do you, at this agency, how do you fend off things like gentrification, things like classism, this concept? And we see it in Chicago neighborhoods, and I've had aldermen and other people in talking about affordable housing disappearing because developers come in and they want to make it all condo. They want to make as much money as possible. And I don't fault them, but that's what it is. How do you approach making sure that a neighborhood is mixed income in what you just said when there are so many forces trying to keep it from happening?
You have to build a good product, and CHA has built a good product. And so we can take that show on the road and say, here's what we built here. Here's what we built there. Everyone, we take that connotation that public housing breeds crime, Section 8 breeds crime. We've taken that notion, that stereotype off, that we're building communities. We're building great communities that are sustainable, that are economic opportunities. We bring commercial development that has never been in public housing in this city, and so we're trying to increase that. So all those opportunities, when you bring that package together, you see success, and you can implement, duplicate it, replicate it in other neighborhoods, people sit there and say, I have to look at
how do you get the buy-in
different.
From certain neighborhoods? I mean, let's be frank about it. We see it in even the headlines, you know, whenever a new I think it's happened in Jefferson Park where there's, you know, a building that's being introduced that they're saying there's going to be some public housing in it. And residents, neighbors, other people in the area is like, no, we don't want that mixed income. How do you at the Chicago Housing Authority, how do you get past that?
Well, you got to be patient. You have to be thick skin, and you have to sit there and you have to go through it, and you have to show the benefits, the positives, the negatives, and you have to work a common ground. It's not easy. It's time consuming. A lot of things are predicated on the community because they have to buy into it. If they're not buying it, Alderman's not buying into it, it's not going to go. So how do you sit there and convince them? You got to sit there. You got to do your homework. You got to find out what the community wants. You got to find out. You got to find that sweet spot, and then that's what you got to work on. But it takes time. If you say you're going to do two meetings and we can convince everyone, you better tackle on about three or four meetings because you got to keep out there. You just got to keep at it. You just can't stop.
Let me ask you that. I mean, it's so interesting where public housing has evolved to, especially when you talk about what you want to do now with commercial development and really sort of almost in a way mixed income means, affordable units that are worth or similar to what's next to it or in the same building, that kind of thing. I'm interested in how do you do that? How do you make sure that a community is balanced that way? When you're dealing with the fact that everybody wants to make a dollar off of rent, off of buying and selling, you know, I mean, how do you keep it affordable?
You want to make it a seamless transition, a seamless community. You want to go in there and you want to be an eyesore. It says, okay, if you pass this portion of the city, well, we know that's mixed income, well, that's public housing. You don't want to do that. What you want to do is when you go down a neighborhood, it's a neighborhood. You don't know if it's this or that. It's just a great neighborhood. I want to be in this neighborhood. That's what you're doing. You're building something to that scale, and people appreciate here in this city that you have something that's affordable, that looks great, that's provide a decent quality of life issues for this city and affordable.
How do you get past? And this is, I mean, you're new. I mean, there's only 2 years here in the city. Chicago knows this story very well. The history of it is here. A good example, Cabrini Green, the towers at Cabrini Green. When they came down, the cynicism of everybody in the city of Chicago going, they're not coming down because you're going to change the plan for public housing. They're coming down because condos and Target and other things are going to go in and affluent and middle class people are going to take that land that was public. How do you guard against that? When you talk about being the CEO of the CHA, what do you say to residents who are cynical that the public interest is in mind?
You got to have strong will, and you got to make promises that you can live up to and keep, and don't make promises that you can't. I think that's what got CHA in trouble. When you make promises and you don't deliver on those promises, if you say you're going to build 1,000 units and you come back and say, I can only do 100, then you missed your promise. And why? And if you're not transparent like we are now, we're going to do what we say we're going to do and convince them that this is the best way of using this product that is beneficial for the whole community. But not everyone's going to buy into it. And don't get me wrong. You've been here a long time. I've read about Chicago for many years. It's tough. But you got to stand your ground. You got to stay with the mission. And you got to have great staff that knows the community and so forth and build with the CDCs and local aldermen and get support.
When you come in from somewhere else, do you have to learn the history of Chicago housing? I mean, there's been, I mean, even I think of Old Man Daley and the decisions to make the high rises. His son, Richard M. Daley, the decision to tear him down. I mean, do you have to become almost a Chicago public housing historian to take on the job of CEO?
No, you don't look at the past. You look at the present and the future.
But you don't want to make the same mistakes, right?
Exactly. And so you look at, I mean, you do your history lesson and so forth. Really what you're trying to look at what you have existing right now, what's been done, and how can we do it better? And looking at those issues that we had way in the past, we've done it in the past that didn't work. So let's stop this and dead in this track. And that's why I said in the beginning, it says, you got to look at something. We've looked at the success of the plan for transformation. We look at the failures. So we're focusing on the positive. And if we're looking at the, if we're teetering to something that's negative, then we go back and we try to tweak that and try not to make the same mistakes. We are going to be celebrating our 80th anniversary from October 2017 to October 2018. We're getting ready to put an ambitious program together that's going to represent what everything and what everyone has done in this great city and the city of Chicago when it comes to public and assisted housing.
Well, you know, when it comes to CHA and the word ambitious, you know, we wouldn't mind just sort of, yeah, tepid, right? I don't know if we need ambitious. But, you know, I have to ask because it's the world has changed. The broadening gap of inequality. We talk about the haves and the have-nots in this right. world, and we talk about what is considered to be quote-unquote affordable. You know, for you at the Chicago Housing Authority to say, yes, we give public housing at affordable rates, that's still for someone who is in poverty to say, oh, yeah, these units go for $1,000 a month. That's crazy. You know, I mean, how do you at an agency that really is designed to help the poor and to help people with public housing to not be in a situation where they get priced out of neighborhoods, how do you deal with the fact that the prices are getting bigger and the salaries and the income is getting smaller?
We beat down developers. We do everything we can to bring those costs down so we can make them affordable. That's really what it basically does. You just don't give in and say, okay, this unit is going to cost you this and you're going to have to pay for it. No, we don't work that way in Chicago Housing Authority anymore. We got to get the best bang for our buck. This is public dollars. We have to be very transparent. We have to be responsible and accountable to not only to the federal government, but to the citizens here and who put us in these positions. And so I'm a very staunch believer that we can build cheaper, we can build it better, but it has to be everlasting because this is the last time we're going to have this big pot of money, and we got to make this thing, we got to make this program last for many years. And on top of that, we got to bring great programs and great services in order to maintain that. We got to work with our sister agencies. We got to work with CTA. We got to work with the Parks District. We got it's a combination of putting a neighborhood together. What do you have? What do you have? What can you bring together? How can we merge this and bring this neighborhood in a better light? Working with the police, fire department. That's the key to what we've done with the leadership with Mayor Rahm Emanuel.
You know, there's so many myths, and I mean, there's so many things that we think about when we think about residents of public housing. And we've had the conversation on this show, and we've, you know, had people talk about where the government fits in with that. When you think about all of the things that come out of it, high crime, neglect. You know, this the idea that people are on welfare or handouts, things of that nature. As someone who is the CEO of an agency that houses people, what's the response to that? What's the response to the fact that there is a stigma to being involved in public housing?
So we try to diffuse that stigma. Now, Justin, I can tell you right now, I've been all over the world. I've seen no better public housing than I've seen here in Chicago because of the rehab, the construction, and the mixed income. Far no better than anywhere else, and I'm proud of that, and we're going to do a whole lot more in the subsequent years, but crime doesn't happen in public housing like people think it does. It happens off the street. We'll get a little bit of crime when someone's trying to run away from the law enforcement, they run onto to the property and trying to see Pookie that's on the property, and whatever the case may be. But typically, the crime does not happen on public housing property or Section 8 properties in this city. We get results every day, and it's always in the surrounding community. Now, we're not trying to be isolated from the community. We're trying to help community. We have cameraed each one of our community. If the police department would like to have that footage and so forth, we work with them, trying to get those perpetrators off the street. So we're an enabler in the community in which we're trying to be a part of, not trying to say, well, we're going to build this just because you won't let us have this. That's not the way we're going to do it. We're going to try to partner with everything we can when it comes to festivals, events. How can we also be a part of the whole community and not just being isolated and saying, you're over there?
Eugene Jones Jr. is the CEO of the Chicago Housing Authority, just celebrated 2 years on the job. Mr. Jones, you got to come back. We'd love to have you back and love to continue the conversation of public housing here in Chicago. Thanks for being
Please,
here
tonight. Thank you.